Chris, how about Baylor at Alabama? That'd be pretty good stuff.
Yeah, that's potential, what, top 10 matchup probably? I mean, assuming we know who's playing for anybody at this point. But I would say both those teams right now would be regarded as top 10 teams, and that should be a dandy.
What do you think took them this long to get Rick Barnes back to Austin?
I don't know. That's a good question, but that certainly is one of the matchups that is going to jump off the page in that.
Yeah. Don't know if you saw this story earlier, but I'm going to lay this out to you. You probably have. The reports out of Baton Rouge are that LSU is down to 3 for their baseball opening. Jay Johnson, who's at Arizona, Cliff Godwin from East Carolina, who I think is going to get the job, Link Jarrett from Notre Dame. Talk to me a little bit about what you know about these guys and where you think they stack.
Well, Cliff Godwin has done a tremendous job at East Carolina. Of course, that program's claim to fame is it's the program that gets to a regional but can't get to Omaha. I think they've been 31 times without making it to the College World Series. But, he's a good candidate. He's done a great job there. I was impressed with the team he brought to Nashville. Jay Johnson has done a terrific job at Arizona. LSU could certainly pay him a lot more money than he's making there. I want to say he's making 530-ish. I'm sure LSU is going to pay the next guy 7 figures. So that'll be interesting if he's the guy they settle on. And then Link Jarrett at Notre Dame has done a terrific job in just a couple of years there. I mean, they won the ACC this year. I thought they really impressed me in Starkville. Mississippi State really had to fight to get through that regional. So, you know, on paper to me, without knowing some things they might know, that looks like 3 very good candidates.
Are you still hearing silly money?
That's been the word from the outset. But, you know, silly money may depend on who gets the job. And I think you have to pay Tim Corbin silly money. I don't know if you have to do it with Link Jarrett or Cliff Godwin or someone along the lines of what they're looking at now.
If this report's accurate, do you think that some intermediary search firm, however you want to call it, discuss this with Tim Corbin?
Oh, I would have very little doubt about that. I mean, I heard from the beginning he was the guy they wanted. I think that's a tough get. He's got so much working for him at Vanderbilt. He's won 2 national titles, almost won a third. And I know the odds are stacked against him at the moment, but could win another one. I mean, he's the guy that I think if you've got a wish list at any job anywhere in the country, he would be number one on just about anybody's list. So given the money they're throwing around or they're talking about throwing around, and given what they just did with pulling Baylor's coach, I have to think for sure that he would be, I know he was a guy they wanted and were very interested in. Again, I just don't know for how far that gets given what he's done there.
Give me some thoughts on the Tennessee part of this equation. Vitello obviously wants improvements to the Big Orange program. He wants Lindsey Nelson to be more competitive as a stadium with some of the big boys in the league. On one hand, you sit there and you say, okay, Tennessee's got the money. They can, they can make him one of the highest paid. But, Chris, we also know that this is an athletic department that has had a lot of problems monetarily because they've been paying off so dadgum many coaches. So if they have to really bump to keep a baseball coach, who suffers because of it?
Well, that's a good question. Don't forget that the SEC just sent out, $23 million checks to each school to provide them with some aid against COVID losses. I mean, let's also not forget that in the midst of a pandemic and no gate revenues or little gate revenues, South Carolina paid, $12, $14 million to get rid of Will Muschamp. It's funny to me that these schools keep finding money for what it is they want to do. The word is, and Jason Swain tweeted out this morning, that sources had told him that Tennessee was willing to make Tony Vitello the highest paid coach in the country. And there's been a groundswell of rumors for a few weeks that they're going to really up the facilities there. I think $50 million was a number that's been tossed around. So, you know, I would say right now, if those numbers are accurate, I don't know where they cut it, but it just seems to me like Tennessee is very serious about baseball. And, you know, in sports that matter to schools, I'm just not seeing really a lot of cutbacks much of anywhere for the most part.
Watson, say hello to Chris Lee.
Chris, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
Good. A couple of football questions for you. I've always thought, Chris, that somebody ought to be in charge of all of football. That's the number one thing. And I think we're getting closer to that in college football, that they have a commissioner for that. This last deal with the Supreme Court just keeps adding to it to me. I've always thought that one date should be held by all the FBS schools, and that one commissioner or somebody puts, just like they do basketball, you stick an SEC against the Big 12, and that one date every year, that's what happens. I think the fans would love something like that. And I'm not sure it wouldn't help for the playoffs down the road that you've played somebody out of your conference that's really good, because they're going to match good on good. You just saw Kentucky playing Kansas in basketball. How do you feel about that? Do you think that ever might happen?
So just to be clear, you're talking about doing for football what the SEC and Big 12 have done for hoops, but making that across Power 5 where you match teams up. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
I've never given that a second of thought until right now, but why not, right? I mean, I think that'd be loads of fun. I think you never know what matchups you would get, especially if you don't decide them before the season. If you just handed them out, you know, a couple weeks before, you could put some interesting things out there. I'd say if you get the 12-team playoff, maybe there's less resistance from Power 5 teams because losing a game isn't as deadly. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Teams are always going to protect their own interests, whatever those are. But I think it would be loads of fun to see what happens.
Watson, I'm throwing you in as commissioner.
I just think, Chris, that everybody knows that weekend. And, man, they can't wait. Late in the summer, you find out, or not late in the summer, somewhere in the summer, you find out who you're going to play. Gives the fan time to book their to whatever. Some even be at neutral sites, but I think it'd be better on the campuses. So anyway, I always had that thought. That's one of the things I thought would really go in football. And now that we're getting deep in these playoffs, everybody plays for the playoffs, so they're scared to go play somebody, and the games get worse. These pre-conference games are getting worse and worse to me.
You know, and as you're saying this, I'm thinking back to last year, and you remember what happened in the crazy season we had. You had Coastal and BYU scheduling a game late. You know, as those teams tried to get more on the national radar, that was loads of fun. That game was a classic, went down to the wire. And, you know, I think everybody loved that idea. So we saw it play out last year in a different sort of sense. It wasn't Power 5, but it was two teams that were nationally relevant to one degree or another, and it was a lot of fun. So having seen that done once before, sure, why not?
And my second question is Notre Dame and BYU. Don't you think that they've got now, Chris, to jump in a conference? And do you think Notre Dame is going to work to stay with the ACC? I brought up the Big Ten the other day. I think that's a possibility for them. And then BYU would have to be working toward the Pac-12, wouldn't you think? Trying to?
You would think, and correct me if I'm wrong on Notre Dame, was the proposal with the playoffs, was part of that saying that Notre Dame would not get a bye at any point?
Yep.
Yes. They have
yeah,
to be
I mean, that, that right there has got to be your carrot to join a league, right?
Yes. And do you think that they would look to the Big Ten because the Big Ten makes the most money? I think last year, I don't know about this year, but the year before, the Big Ten brought in more than even the SEC. I think I'm right about that, George.
I think you
are. I just wonder that it looks like the ACC would be the fit because I think aren't they in the ACC and other sports? So
yeah,
that would be
the
fit. But I just can't see them just
– they play there at basketball. So yeah.
Yeah. So, but I can't see them just throwing the Big Ten out. And you know the Big Ten would have to go to them and talk to them. I'm not sure they're not already talking.
Yeah, I mean, you're bringing up things that I haven't had any more time to process than in real time, and those are never the best answers. But, you know, it would seem, back to the playoff thing, that you would think to start to force Notre Dame's hand, and whether it's more with geography, which would be the Big Ten, or with familiarity, which is where they always already are, those are the two that certainly make sense. That, you know, obviously the Pac-12 wouldn't. The Big 12 probably would not as much. They're not going to join the SEC, so or at least I wouldn't think so. You never know these days, but that makes sense to me.
Yeah, Terry,
Chris, I want to go back to baseball for a couple of questions. First off, you know, most of the hype that we saw during the regular season was obviously about Vanderbilt and Arkansas and the resurgence of Tennessee, but as we get deeper into the College World Series, there's Mississippi State right there in the driver's seat with the possibility to win the whole thing. What is it about Mississippi State and their program that has been so, you know, that's been so strong this year and resilient? I know they've got that one kid out of the bullpen that is just lights out, but it just seems like that they're a solid team top to bottom.
Yeah, I would start on the offensive side. They've got the player of the year in Tanner Allen, who's been tremendous this year, had the biggest hit of the game last night. They've got a kid named Rowdy Jordan who hits leadoff and plays center field and is one of the best outfielders in the league. I think he was first-team All-SEC. That's a good start. Those guys have been in what? I think this is their third College World Series. You don't see that happen often. So I think experience and talent, just with those two at the top, is a big factor. I like their catcher, Logan Tanner. He's a good one, probably a future pro catcher. They defend reasonably well. The rest of the lineup isn't great, but they found a couple of kids, including Kellen Clark, who hit the big home run last night, Brad Cumbus, who plays left. They came on late, so they had sort of a resurgence of some bats there, or maybe I should say an emergence of some bats there late. That weren't helping them early in the season. And then the bullpen. You know, you mentioned Landon Sims, who's been great. He's been kind of a Kevin Copps light for Mississippi State. He has ended both games in the College World Series for them successfully so far. They've got Will Bednar, who's their number one starter. Will Bednar has been a guy who struck out, 13-14 the other night against Texas, and is probably going to be a first-round pick here in a few weeks. His brother pitches in the big league. He's your number one starter that everybody covets. So that's a good start. And they just have a bunch of arms beside those guys. I don't know that they can rely on any one of them like they can those two. But you saw they pitched, eight guys last night? And then they pitched two on, Sunday night. And one of those guys was Sims, who pitched both games. That's nine guys they pitched already in two games in Omaha, and you don't just throw anybody out in Omaha in a close game. That tells you they've got a lot of arms they trust. I just think, as you said, it's a really solid team all around, and I think the experience matters. Again, they've had a lot of guys who've been there, and to me, I wasn't completely sold on them entering the College World Series because of the way they ended the season, but you did see some things with some players emerging that made you think, maybe they're getting some pieces at the right time. And that is certainly how it has played out in Omaha so far.
And this next question, I don't know if you really know the answer or not, but with all the money that's being talked about and, you know, tossed around at, you know, some of these baseball coaches like at LSU and like Tennessee trying to keep Tony Vitello, how many teams in the SEC and maybe across the nation, how many baseball programs operate in the black now? Because we have seen a little bit of an increase in the interest in college baseball this spring, I believe.
Oh, I would think you could count those on two hands, if not one. But, you know, there's some intangible stuff there. You know, you look at Vanderbilt. I don't know that program makes money, but you look at the press that Tim Corbin gets it and guys like David Price, and that's goodwill for the university. And I think that even if in a strict dollars and cents sense, and we all know that, you know, accounting can be done in many different ways. If you need to show a profit, sometimes you can, and if you don't, you know how to show a loss. I mean, so I guess that end of it, the accounting end of it's a little tricky. But I guess you wouldn't see coaches making the money that they're starting to make now if the schools didn't decide it was worth it for PR or just school pride. I mean, nothing brings a campus together like a deep run into the postseason. You know, there's certainly a lot of pride at Vanderbilt at a time where they're not winning and much else that anybody follows. I think that matters. I think that you look up in Knoxville, you see how that community responded to baseball at a time where football has been down for a while. So I think we can look at it dollars and cents, and I don't know that in that way, you know, that it's the best investment, but schools keep doing it for other reasons, and I think those are the reasons why.
George?
Chris, great info. Good stuff. A lot to talk about today.
There is, and maybe there'll be a lot to talk about with Vandy, Mississippi State this time next week. It's the College World Series is always interesting, and it's been so much fun to watch so far.
Amen. Hey, thanks for doing this.
You bet. Thank you.